إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, the topic that we would like to deal with is at-tawbah, repentance. And as I mentioned yesterday, and in these last few days, as we complete the topics that Allah has allowed us to complete in these series of readings after Salatul Fajr, this topic, as the topic yesterday, though it is the last of these topics, it is not the least of them. Indeed, the matter of At-Tawbah is of the utmost importance. Is of the utmost importance. As yesterday we talked about At-Tawakkul, yani dependence upon Allah, that the believer must exert themselves in making every effort to be totally reliant, dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And as we mentioned the day before, the importance of being pleased with Allah's decree, being pleased with it. At least the Muslim, when afflicted with a calamity, must at least be patient with it. But better than that is to be pleased with it, or to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the benefits that will come to them in this world and the next. So these topics, indeed, of the utmost importance, and this final topic, At-Tawbah, I think is befitting that we close with as we reflect upon the need of the believer to be conscious and to be striving and making every effort to be in a state of repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every human being is committing sins. Every human being is committing sins. And the best of those who commit sins are those who repent frequently. Frequently. So it is incumbent upon us to be conscious of this matter and to strive and struggle to make every effort to be in a state of repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to read this morning a statement from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in which he begins by saying, At-tawbatu hiya ar-ruju'u an ma'asiyatillahi ta'ala ila ta'atihi. A simple statement of great importance. At-tawbah, it is turning away from, returning, coming back from disobedience to Allah. Abandoning the state of disobedience to Allah and turning to Allah in obedience to Him. Meaning abandoning disobedience and turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with obedience. And then the Shaykh says that At-Tawbah is mahbuba ila Allah. The Tawbah is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, At-tawbah wajibatun ala kulli mu'min. And tawbah is obligatory upon every believer. And At-tawbah min asbab al-falah. And tawbah is from the causes or the means through which a person will achieve success. And he said, At-tawbah an-nasuh yaghfiru Allah biha al-dhunub. That through sincere repentance, Allah forgives sins. مَهْمَا عَظُمَتْ وَمَهْمَا كَثُرَتْ. No matter how great in magnitude they are, or how many in number they are, through التوبة النصوح, sincere tawbah, Allah forgives sins, no matter what they are. And I'll retract here after mentioning these statements. And like the Sheikh, he brings, you know, some ayat concerning each one of these points. So we go back to it again. At-tawbah mahbubatun ila Allah Azza wa Jalla. That indeed, repentance, it is beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is beloved to Allah. Allah loves that His servants repent to Him. And he mentions here the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Tawbah. In Surah Baqarah. Surah Baqarah, second surah, 222nd ayat. Second surah, 222. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. That indeed, Allah loves those who turn to Him in repentance. And He loves those who purify themselves. Naam. And some of the scholars mention that these two matters, At-Tawbah and At-Tahara, that they go together, in that At-Tawbah is purification of the inner being, and At-Tahara is purification of the outward, yani the physical outer being. The Shaykh says, At-Tawbah wajibatun ala kulli mu'min. That At-Tawbah is obligatory on every mu'min, every believer. Person who's a believer, know indeed that Tawbah is obligatory upon you. He mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tahrim, 66 surah, 8th ayat. يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحة. O you who believe, وعليكم السلام. توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحة. Repent to Allah with sincere repentance. Repent to Allah with sincere repentance. This is a command. يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحة. So tawbah is obligatory upon the believer. The believer, O you who believe. The Shaykh says, At-tawbatu min asbab al-falah. That tawbah is from the means through which a person can achieve success. And here he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur, 24th surah, 31st ayat. Tubu ila Allahi jamian ayyuhal mu'minun. La'allakum tuflihun. So repent to Allah, all of you, O believers, that you might attain success, al-falah. The Shaykh says here, what is al-falah? Al-falah, it is an yahsula lil insani matlubuhu wa yanju min marhubuhu, or min marhubihi. Naam. That a person achieve what he desires. He achieves the thing that he desires, and he is saved from the thing that he fears. This is al-falah. Yani to achieve what you desire and to be saved from that which you fear. And the greatest desire of the believer is what? Al-jannah. And the greatest fear that the believer has is what? An-nar. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah wa a'udhu bika min an-nar. O Allah, I ask of you the jannah, and I seek refuge in you from the now. This is success. The one who is yani saved from the hellfire and admitted into the Jannah. Walaikum salam. Faddu. Walaikum salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَاز. That whoever is removed far away from the hellfire and admitted into the paradise, this one has indeed been successful. So At-Tawbah, it is from the means for a person to achieve success. Success being what? Achieving that which you desire, the Jannah, and being saved from that which you fear most, that is the hellfire. And finally, the Shaykh says, At-tawbatu an-nasuh yaghfirullah biha al-dhunub mahma azumat wa mahma kathurat. That sincere repentance, through it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins, no matter how great they may be in magnitude, and no matter how many they may be in number. Yani, it doesn't matter the magnitude of the sin. It doesn't matter the number, how many they are. Rather, through sincere repentance, Allah forgives sins. And here he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tremendous ayah that requires discussion in and of itself, in Surah Az-Zumar, 39th Surah, 53rd Ayat. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Say, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, commanding him to say, يَا عِبَادِي, O my servants, servants of Allah, الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, those who have transgressed all limits and all bounds against their own self, yani those who have wronged themselves by engaging in sin and acts of disobedience. O my servants who have transgressed all bounds against their own selves in violation of the laws of Allah, they have wronged their own selves. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't give up hope. Don't lose hope of the mercy of Allah. Yani, no matter how much you have transgressed the limits, don't give up hope of the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, he is the one who is oft forgiving, who is most merciful. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he is the one who forgives all sins, al-dhunub jami'an, he means all sins. Meaning that if a person repents, no matter what they have done, murder, rape, robbery, it doesn't matter. Whatever a person has done, if they sincerely seek repentance from Allah, Allah forgives all sins. Allah even forgives shirk, na'am, if a person repents from it before they die. But Allah doesn't forgive shirk if a person dies on it. Khalas, the matter is finished. Person dies on shirk and they didn't repent from it, the matter is sealed. Allah doesn't forgive this. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرَ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Indeed, Allah forgives. He does not forgive that a person commits shirk, yani, and they die on it without repentance, but He forgives to whomever He wills, whatever is less than shirk. Yani, less than shirk, Allah may forgive the person, even if they didn't repent from it. He may forgive. He forgives whoever He wills, except shirk. The person who dies on shirk, khalas, Allah will not forgive this. But if they repent in their lifetime, Allah accepts sincere repentance. So the Shaykh, he mentions this ayat to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to his servants who have transgressed the bounds and wronged their own selves, don't lose hope of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, He is the all-forgiving, the most merciful. Then the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he says, لا تقنط يا أخي المذنب من رحمة ربك. O my sinful brother, do not give up hope of the mercy of your Rabb. Don't give up hope of the mercy of your Rabb, no matter what sins you have committed. Don't give up hope of the mercy, the rahmah of your Rabb. Rather, the door of repentance is open until the sun rises from the place of its setting. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith reported by Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَصِّتُ يَدَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ لِيَتُوبَ مُصِيءَ النَّهَارِ. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches out His hand, the hand of Allah, He stretches out His hand at night, during the night, so that the one who has committed sins in the day can repent to him. وَيُبْصِتُ يَدَهُ بِالنَّهَارِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيءَ اللَّيْلِ حَتَّى تَطْلَعَ الشَّمْسُ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches forth His hand during the day so that the one who has committed sins during the night may repent to him. And this will go on continuously, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretching forth His hand during the day and the night so that the people who committed sins during the night and the day may repent to Him. حَتَّى تَطْلَعَ الشَّمْسُ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا. Until the sun rises from the place of its setting. And this is one of the great signs of the Day of Judgment, of the end of time, that the sun will rise from the place of its setting. This hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim. Here the Shaykh mentions an ayat that is of great importance. And he says, preceding it, and how many are those who repent from sins? Kathira, azima. Yani sins, many sins, and great sins, sins of great magnitude. How many are those who have repented from many sins and great sins of great magnitude? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts their repentance. How many of them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is in Surah Al-Furqan, in the ayats of Ibad al-Rahman, where Allah describes the worshippers of Ar-Rahman. In Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 68th and 69th and 70th ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدَعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. That indeed those who do not call upon any other God besides Allah, yani they didn't fall into shirk. This is the first major sin, the greatest of all sins, shirk. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And they didn't kill, they didn't murder a person, a soul, which Allah has made haram, except by the right of the Sharia, the law of Allah. They didn't kill any person, except by right of the Sharia, that Allah has allowed. And this is the second great sin. And the third of them, he said, and they didn't commit zina, yani fornication or adultery. He said, those who, yani he's describing Ibad al-Rahman, they are those who do not call upon any other God besides Allah, or along with Allah. Nor do they commit murder against the soul that Allah has made haram to commit murder against, except by the law of the Sharia. And nor did they commit zina, fornication or adultery. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَى أَثَامًا. And whoever does that, yani who commits these types of sins, shirk and murder and zina, whoever does that, they will meet the punishment for these sins. They will meet the punishment for these sins. يُضَاعَفَ لَهُ الْعَذَابِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. And his, yani the punishment for these sins, for the person who has committed these sins, will be multiplied on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And they will remain in the hellfire, in punishment, yani forever in humiliation. إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا. Except the one who repents and who believes and then who does righteous good deeds. Yani the person who did what? Who committed shirk. And the person who did what? Murder and zina. They will be in the hellfire. They will meet the punishment of their sins. And it will be multiplied. And there will be humiliation forever. Except the one who repented in this world. Who repented and who believed. And then followed up their sins by doing righteous good deeds. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حسنات وكان الله غفور رحيم. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends these ayats, yani that the Shaykh quotes here. This ayat, the third of these ayats, it ends with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except the one who repents and believes and does righteous good deeds, for these, those who repent and who believe and do righteous good deeds, these Allah will exchange their sayyi'at, their evil deeds. He will exchange them for hasanat, good deeds. He will exchange their evil deeds and replace them with good deeds. And Allah is oft forgiven, most merciful. After this, the Shaykh mentions the conditions of tawbah, and that's what he ends with. But before reading the conditions of tawbah, I like to mention something from what Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, mentions concerning this ayah. Very, very important ayah. And I'm going to quote some of what he said. And at the end of it, the hadith, a hadith that he mentions, which is, yani, a jewel. Yani, a jewel of guidance and an inspiration and a comfort and a consolation for those who believe. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, he says the saying of Allah, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنًا, yani those who commit such sins as shirk and murder and zina, major sins of great magnitude, sins against Allah, sins against the people, sins against yani one's family and the society and the people. Whoever commits these sins, they will meet yani the punishment for their sins, and it will be multiplied, and they will remain in the punishment forever in humiliation, except those who repent and who believe and who do good deeds. And here Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions this saying, those people, Allah will exchange their evil deeds with hasanat, good deeds. Indeed, Allah is forgiven, merciful. So the meaning of this statement, Allah will exchange the evil deeds for good deeds, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says, the meaning of this statement, there are two sayings of the scholars concerning it, two different interpretations for this ayah. And both of those interpretations are correct. And neither one of them is contradictory of the other. Rather, and Allah knows best, it appears as though one of them is an interpretation of the exchange of evil deeds with good deeds in this world, and the other is an interpretation of the exchange of good deeds, of evil deeds for good deeds in the next life. Two interpretations, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says. The first interpretation, Allah will exchange the evil deeds for good deeds, is that Allah will exchange, in place of the sins that they were committing, He will cause them to do acts of goodness and righteousness. And this, yani interpretation, meaning that they used to commit sins, Allah caused them to repent and to turn back to Him and to correct their life and to rectify their affair, such that now, before they used to be committing sins, now they're what? They're worshipping Allah, committing acts of obedience. This is what we see in this society. When a person accepts Islam sincerely, and they used to drink and fight and kill and rob and do all kind of things, and then they became Muslims, and that kind of behavior was exchanged with a different behavior completely. Fasting and praying and charity and truthfulness and all of this. This is the first interpretation. This interpretation, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says, is narrated by Ali ibn Abi Talha from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma concerning this ayat. He said, yani Abdullah ibn Abbas said, the meaning of this are the believers who used to, before they had iman, they used to be committing sayyi'at, evil deeds. And then Allah, yani, called them, encouraged them to, yani, turn away from that kind of behavior. And He transformed their behavior to the doing, from sayyi'at to the doing of hasanat, good deeds. So Allah exchanged, in the place of the sins that they used to commit, now they were doing hasanat. This is the first interpretation. Yani that Allah changed their condition from the condition they were in before and to this better condition. And this is also what was said by many of the scholars from amongst the Salaf, including Atta ibn Abi Rabah, rahimahullah. He said that the meaning of this ayat is in this world, in the dunya, that a person who used to have an ugly condition, yani his behavior was ugly, it was filthy, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed it to khair, to a good condition. And this is also what was said by Sa'id ibn Jubayr, rahimahullah. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exchanged this person from the worship of idols to the worship of Ar-Rahman. And He exchanged this person from one who used to kill the Muslims till he became one who used to fight, who used to fight against the Muslims, to one who was fighting against the mushriks. And He changed him from the one who used to marry the mushrikat, the pagan women, until he became one who married the believing woman. And this is also the saying of Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exchanged the evil deed by the person now doing a righteous deed, and He exchanged his commission of shirk to ikhlas, sincerity for Allah alone, and He exchanged his condition of committing acts of corruption and filth to yani being pure, to purity, and preserving his yani integrity, his goodness, his purity in terms of his moral behavior. and he exchanged his condition of kufr to his condition of Islam. And this is also the saying of other scholars. He said Abu Aliya and Qatada and a whole group of other scholars. That's the first meaning of this ayat. And the second meaning of this ayat, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says the second meaning is that Allah will exchange the evil deeds for good deeds, means those evil deeds that the person did in the past would be transformed by tawbah, by sincere tawbah, into the deeds themselves would be changed from evil deeds, the record of his sins will be changed to good deeds. And this is for no other reason that the person, when he remembers those deeds that he did in the past, he feels remorse and regret for what he has done, and he seeks refuge in Allah from his, from the sins that he committed, and he recognizes that, he belongs to Allah, and that he will return to Allah, and he feels, remorse for what he has done, and he asks Allah's forgiveness, and as a result of this, Allah transforms the sin into an act of obedience, in this manner, in this way, meaning that the sin that was written against him, it will be changed, from it being a sin to it being an act of obedience to Allah because of his repentance. Every time he remembered those sins, he turned back to Allah and asked Allah's forgiveness. So on Yawm al-Qiyamah, even though he might find that deed written there as a sin, but indeed it will not harm him, because then when the account is taken, it will be transformed. That which was written as a sin against him will be transformed into a hasana, a good deed in his record. It will be now written as a good deed. And this has been confirmed in the sunnah, exactly like this. And it has been also, authentically reported in the narrations that came from some of the Salaf radiallahu anhum. And it has been narrated in this particular hadith that Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions. And then we'll stop with this and mention the conditions that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentioned and close with that. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir here mentions for this second saying, the proof for it is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says that it was narrated from Al-Imam Ahmad, and this hadith is actually reported in the Sahih of Muslim from Abu Dhar radiallahu anhu, but here Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions the hadith from Al-Imam Ahmad, and he mentions the chain of narration from Abu Dhar radiallahu anhu, and he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Inni لَعَارِفُ آخِرَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ خُرُوجًا مِنَ النَّارِ, that indeed I know, I am the best knower of who will be the last of the people of the hellfire who will come out of the hellfire. وَآخِرُ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ دُخُولًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, and I know the last of the people of paradise who will be admitted into the paradise. And then he mentions a person, يُعْتَى بِرَجُلٍ فَيَقُولُ نَحْحُ كِبَارَ ذُنُوبِهِ وَسَلْهُ عَنْ صِغَارِهَا, it will be said, this man will be brought and it will be said, erase his major sins, and ask him only about his minor sins. His accounting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, erase his major sins. Just erase them from the record completely. And ask him only, question him about his minor sins, صِغَارِهَا. قال فيقال له عملت يوم كذا كذا وكذا وعملت يوم كذا كذا وكذا فيقول نعم لا يستطيع أن ينكر من ذلك شيئا. So it will be said to him, in his questioning on يوم القيامة, after his major sins has been wiped away, كبار الذنوب, and he will be only asked about صغارها, the minor sins, it will be said to him, on such and such day you did such and such. On such and such day, you did such and such. And he will admit it. He will say yes. He will not be able to deny anything. Nobody will be able to deny on that day. Not like today. The people go to the court, they deny all. I didn't do any of it. But on that day, nobody will be able to deny. The record will be clear. And the person will be forced to admit that you have done it. So he will say, it will be said to him, you have done such and such and so, and all of what he has done will be brought forward, and he will not be able to deny any of it. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, فَيُقَالْ فَإِنَّ لَكَ بِكُلِّ سَيِّئَةٍ حَسَنًا. So it will be said, indeed, for every one of these sins, these minor sins that you are being questioned about, for every one of them, they will be recorded for you a hasana. Yani in place of that minor sin that you have just confessed to, it's going to be written for you as a good deed now. This is the exchange of a person's sins, yani sayyi'at, for hasana. So fayaqulu, then that person will say, when this is said to him, every one of your sins that you just confessed to is going to be transformed into a good deed for you, then that person will say, Ya Rabb, amiltu ashya'a la araha hahuna. Oh my Rabb, I did a lot of other things I don't see here. Yani I committed a lot of sins, I don't see them here. Remember now his major sins were all wiped away. Now he wants more sins to be brought forward. I did a lot of other stuff, where's my other sins at? Why? Because what? Sins will be exchanged into hasanat. فَقَالَ دَحِكَ ضَحِكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَتَّى بَدَتْ نَوَاجِذُهُ. Then the Prophet ﷺ smiled or laughed until his molar teeth became visible. He laughed, yani at this man, yani and joy and happiness at the man who, when he realized that the sins that he committed will be exchanged for good deeds, due to what? Because he repented and he believed and he did good deeds. So even the sins that he committed will be exchanged for good deeds. And then it is mentioned here that Al-Imam Muslim, yani other than Bukhari, Al-Imam Muslim narrated this hadith. Yani Imam Bukhari didn't narrate it, but Imam Muslim did narrate it. It's a sahih hadith and very important yani matter that a Muslim who believes in this, inshallah, finds comfort and consolation in it. Finally, the Shaykh, he mentions, after this ayat, he mentions the conditions of tawbah, that there are five. That sincere repentance, it is that repentance which combines five conditions. The first of those conditions is al-ikhlas, sincerity. And the second of those conditions is al-nadam, yani remorse or regret. And the third of those conditions is al-iqla' an al-ma'asiyah fawran, that the person abandons committing the sin. And the fourth of them is al-azm, yani making firm determination or resolve not to go back to that sin. And the last condition is that the tawbah be performed before it is too late, before the time of its acceptance elapsing, before the time elapsed. So the Shaykh, he says, number one, the first condition is ikhlas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is that the person intends, by his repentance, he intends to seek the face of Allah alone. He intends to seek the face of Allah alone. That is that he does it for the sake of Allah alone. And he intends by his tawbah to seek the thawab, the reward of Allah. And he intends by it to be saved from the azab of Allah, the punishment of Allah. Yani, ikhlas in tawbah, it means that a person does it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone, seeking his reward and seeking to be saved from his punishment. Why does a person commit the tawbah, do the tawbah? First of all, they do it for the sake of Allah alone in order to earn his reward and to be saved from his punishment. The second condition is an-nadam ala fi'li al-ma'asiyah bihaythu yahzun ala fi'liha وَيَتَمَنَّ أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَفْعَلْهَا. The second condition is an-nadam, remorse, regret. The person feels regret for having committed that sin, such that they grieve and they feel sorrow, yani grief and sorrow, due to the fact that they committed that act. They feel grief over having committed that act. They don't look back at it and say, before I was a Muslim, I used to commit zina and I loved it. I don't do it anymore, but I loved it. No, rather, they feel grief over the fact that they committed that act. They feel remorse that they committed it. And they grieve over the fact that they ever did that even before they were Muslims, or while they were Muslims. and they wish that they had never done it. يَتَمَنَّى, they wish that they had never committed this act. And the third condition is الإقلاع عن المعصية فوراً, that the person who repents, they must instantly stop doing it. If a person is sincere and he repents, they have to stop doing it. Not, I repent and I'm going to stop doing it next week. Rather, they have to stop now. And if this yani act that they committed is from the rights of Allah, and it involves an act of that which is haram, then they must leave it. And if this sin involves yani an obligatory duty, then they must instantly begin to yani return to the fulfillment of that duty. Yani if it is that they have committed something that's haram, they must leave it. And if it is that they have failed to fulfill an obligatory duty, they must instantly yani return immediately to fulfilling that duty. And if it is in reference to the rights of the human beings, then they must hasten to clear themselves from it, either by returning whatever has been taken from the people, whatever they have taken from them, if it is some kind of property that they have taken from somebody, returning it, or by seeking from the person that they have wronged their pardon and to free them, yani to excuse them from the wrong that they have done to them. And the fourth condition is al-azm ala an la ya'udu ila tilka al-ma'siyah fil mustaqbal, that the person makes a firm resolve, yani firm determination, not to go back to committing that particular sin in the future. And the fifth and final condition, the Shaykh says, from the five conditions, that this tawbah take place before the elapse of the time of the acceptance of tawbah. Before the elapse of the, in other words, there's a time limit when tawbah can be accepted. Either it is that the person repents before the approach of death to them, yani before the time of their death, or the general time of the cutting off of the acceptance of tawbah is when the sun rises from the place of its setting. Yani then tawbah is not accepted from anyone at that point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah and 18th Ayat, لَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنِ, that tawbah is not accepted from those who do acts of disobedience, sayyi'at, commit sins, those who commit sins up until the point when death comes to one of them. At that point he says, now I repent. Allah doesn't accept that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من تاب قبل أن تطلع الشمس من مغربها تاب الله عليه, that whoever repents before the sun rises from the place of its setting, then Allah accepts his repentance. And the Shaykh, he closes with the dua, Allahumma wafiqna littawbah an-nasuh wa taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'u al-alim, that O Allah, grant us success in repenting to you sincerely and accept it from us. Yani grant us success, yani give us the ability to repent, and then when we repent, accept it from us. Indeed, you are the one who is all hearing and all knowing. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. This is what we wanted to present this morning. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we hope, inshallah, that yani we will take the matter seriously and try to remind ourselves constantly of the need to repent. Constantly of the need to repent. Every human being is committing sins all the time. And the best of those who commit sins are those who repent constantly. Naam. Any question about what we discussed? Any question about what was mentioned? Anything that was left unclear? Naam? I don't know what you said. Now, the rights of the people, what about?
In terms of debt,
Huh?
He didn't mention that, right?
The rights of people in Talmud? No, he mentioned it, yeah. No, he mentioned that if the person has committed a sin that's involving the rights of Allah, if it's something haram, then they have to stop doing it. If it's an obligatory duty that they failed to do, then they must yani fulfill it. As far as the rights of people, he said, then they must return. They must go back to those people and return to them what they have taken from them, or ask them to pardon him or to free him yani from that which yani the rights that they have over him. Now, huh? He mentioned that. Now, he mentioned that under the third condition of the person abandoning the sin instantly, if it involves the rights of Allah, or if it involves the rights of the people, under the third condition. Now. No. 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 Sometimes the order or arrangement or the breakdown of the conditions of Tawbah are different. Some scholars have mentioned them differently. But the meaning is the same.
No. What if the person doesn't give you a pardon? Or what if you can't pardon?
They don't have to. They don't have to. I mean, if somebody has wronged somebody, they don't have to pardon them. It's not obligatory to pardon the person who wronged you. Rather, you have a right to whatever they have done to you wrong for it to be redressed. If not, you have a right to ask for your rights in front of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. If you pardon them, khalas, you have given up that right. The person might not want to give that right up. Then you have to carry that. You did it, you got to carry it. Now, any other question?
Last minute was Firun.
No. Person comes at the time when death has come to them, at the moment of death, and then they want to repent, but it's too late then. No. Now, okay, inshallah, we'll stop here. I'll just mention a hadith that is related to our topic. It's not really repentance, but yani it is as one of the topics that we had recently in these last days, the virtue of the assemblies of knowledge. And there's an authentic hadith that Al-Imam As-Suyuti mentions in Al-Jami' As-Saghir, and Shaykh Al-Albani said that it is sahih. And he also mentioned it, yani Shaykh Al-Albani also mentioned this hadith as being sahih in the silsila al-hadith al-sahiha. And this hadith is a hadith that's reported from Sahal ibn Hanzala, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا جَلَسَ قَوْمٌ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فَيَقُومُونَ حَتَّى يُقَالَ لَهُمْ قوموا قد غفر الله لكم ذنوبكم وبدلت سيئاتكم حسنات. That there is no people who sit remembering Allah. And he sit in the circles of remembrance of Allah. And of course, from the best of the circles of remembering Allah is learning Allah's deen, rehearsing, reviewing the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no people who sit remembering Allah and then they stand up, as we are about to do now, except that it is said to them, قوموا, stand up, قد غفر الله لكم ذنوبكم. Indeed, Allah has forgiven your sins. وبدلت سيئاتكم حسنات. And your sins, your يعني سيئات, evil deeds, have been exchanged for حسنات. And this is a tremendous hadith. Whoever reflects upon it knows then the great importance of the assemblies of dhikr, of remembrance of Allah, assemblies of learning and knowledge, that the people who sit there as a result of their sitting, yani in the remembrance of Allah, inshallah, when they disperse from that assembly, their sins, their dhunub, will be forgiven, and their sayyi'at, yani their evil deeds, will be exchanged for good deeds. We ask Allah, yani, to forgive our sins and to exchange our evil deeds for good deeds, and to give us the success in repenting to Him frequently, regularly, consistently, and that He accept our repentance. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.